You are listening to The State of Sustainability, a podcast that highlights sustainability initiatives throughout the state and develops a casual conversation about environmental stewardship that the average person can understand and replicate. I'm your host, Caleb Powell.
And I'm your co-host, Ashley Cabrera.
So this month, we thought that it would be fun to give a different twist to the podcast episode because Ashley and I have just recently both, well, I haven't given birth, but Ashley gave birth last month, early last month, and my wife gave birth, were you exactly a week behind you guys, Ashley?
I think so.
Yeah, so I'm a new parent. Ashley, this is her third baby, but we just went through that process, so we thought, what a good idea to talk about parenting in a sustainable way, like sustainable parenting or sustainable childcare. So we thought that what we would do is just have a conversation on things that Ashley's done with her or learned over, her other two children, raising them and having them as babies, and then just what I've seen in the last month, having a newborn baby, being a first-time dad. So Ashley, you can go ahead. I thought it would be cool if we talked about maybe like the names, the weights, the days our babies were born, just just to show them off a little bit, and then we'll jump into it.
Yeah. So like Caleb said, this is my third. I will say I have two others. One's about to be five, and the other one's 2.5. But this one, her name's Sophia, and she was born March 3rd, actually. If you're in the Middle Tennessee area, is the day of the big windstorm that we had. So she literally came like the wind, came really fast. But she was 5 pounds, 13 ounces, 18 inches long. And it's been interesting to have the third. You have to relearn, a few things, even though, you know, I already have two. You have to relearn some stuff, but she's a new addition to our family, and it's been really sweet.
Yeah, it's awesome watching you, Ashley, just be such a great mother, and, you know, I just applaud you because having, you know, up two other children and working and having a baby, I mean, you're just like a powerhouse. I didn't really understand it until this past month, but so my daughter, we had her on March 15th. Her name is Rue, spelled R-O-O, and she was 7 pounds, 5 ounces, 20 inches long, and yeah, I mean, it's just crazy. After being a part of that whole process, I just, you know, I had the utmost respect for women before this, but once I saw what you all have to do whenever you go through childbirth, it's just so amazing. And I could never put my body through that. So just a round of applause for all women out there that go through childbirth, because it is just a miracle. Yeah, so we're doing well. Trying to really just adjust and get a schedule down pat. My wife and I really weren't ones to have, you know, really a specified routine. So we're realizing that we've got to do that now. But yeah, she's growing and everything is great. So, Ashley, how did you want to start out? What was our first topic that we wanted to start out on?
I wanted to start by just at least talking about, like, you know, we're talking about on this episode, raising sustainable children. Like, why is that important? And I wanted to take the spin on that of, like, you know, how we were raised as far as, like, the sustainability aspect. So, you know, I feel like in the 90s babies we were raised up on all of these, like, processed foods were coming out, and it was starting to get in that, like, go lifestyle. So it's like, okay, disposable water bottles, disposable anything that was disposable, like, use it because it's going to save you time. you know, save you from doing dishes, all of that. And so that's how, you know, I grew up seeing all of that. But I don't remember, and I wish I remember, like, the moment where that kind of, like, in my head, I realized, like, this isn't okay. But I came home one day, and I told my mom she wasn't allowed to buy paper plates or paper cups or napkins again. Like, I'm pretty sure I was in, like, fifth grade, and my mom kind of looked at me, like, because, you know, this mindset of, like, oh, well, it's easier, and we work, so, like, you know, and I get that piece of it. But I just started explaining to her, like, how it was really bad for the environment, all this stuff. She ended up stopped buying it, and she now buys, you know, it again occasionally because I'm not living at home, of course. But as a kid, like, the fact that I was very passionate about it made an impact on what my mom decided to do. And so I think it's important to see, you know, from that lens of, you know, if we raise our kids to think in that way and raise them that way, you know, they, I feel like, will have a bigger impact on others around them, and can start off with that habit at an early age rather than having to learn it, like me, or like even having to learn it as an adult, because especially like learning something new as an adult and trying to break a habit is so much more difficult.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. And you know, it's funny that you say that, because our last episode, you know, sorry that we didn't put out an episode in March. We were both pretty busy. But our February episode was the conservation kid. And so what a better sort of next episode talking about that, because if you look at Cash, at his age, he, you know, his mom raised him up to think about those things, brought him out into nature to see the issues, and he, that's how he sort of figured out that he wanted to be who he is, the conservation kid, you know, to have all these river cleanups. And so I think that just like you were saying, Ashley, is like, if we raise our kids up to understand recycling, understand that, like, not all trash needs to just be, when you don't need something anymore, you just throw it away and it's just gone. That's not really how it happens. And so going back sort of to like my story growing up, how I figured that stuff out is my dad used to run the landfill here in Middle Tennessee. And so growing up as kids, of course you look up to your father and, you know, and your mother. And so my mom would take me to my brother and I, to my dad's work, to see him. And, you know, we'd see the bulldozers and the trucks, and we loved it. And we thought that the landfill was the coolest place. And then later on, when my dad chose a different career path, I mean, it's still a solid waste career path, but he started to run a fiber recycling plant. And then we would go visit him there. I got to see that, like, oh, everything doesn't need to just go on this big trash pile. You can take certain things and make them into the same things again. And in this specific example, it was cardboard and paper. Like, when you're done with a piece of paper, it doesn't need to just go to the landfill. It can be repurposed back into another piece of paper or into a cardboard box, or, you know. So that's sort of where it clicked for me. And so
And what an interesting transition for your dad too.
Yeah, I mean, it's really the perfect thing. I mean, I tell my dad every day, he's the reason that I chose this career path, is because I got to see, like, I thought that the landfill was, that's what I wanted to do. I wanted to work on the landfill like my dad. Like, this is the coolest thing. Like essentially, it's good that my dad always said, he always joked around when we'd be like, ooh, it smells out here, Dad. He'd be like, smells like money. Because the trash company, you know, they make a lot of money hauling off trash. Mm-hmm. But, and I'm not, we're never going to be able to get rid of landfills. But it was so cool that he changed up his career path to, and maybe it was because he saw how much stuff was going into the landfill and how many much opportunities were there are to recycle. So I know that was long-winded, but that was sort of how I was brought up into a sustainable lifestyle. And it really isn't, I don't think that was meant to be that way. It's just how the cards were dealt. But yeah, going back to what you said, Ashley, I think we raise our kids up to understand recycling, understanding composting, understand that food waste can be composted, or it's not good, or, you know, it's good to eat your leftovers, not just throw them away, things like that. Don't buy too much stuff so it'll go bad. If you can instill that in your children young, which I know that you have, Ashley, it's very,
oh,
very,
yes. Emma is like a little poster child for no food waste.
Well, and she, there's even, we even have a couple YouTube videos where she's the superhero, right?
Yeah.
Maybe we can link that in this episode so you can see Ashley's firstborn daughter, Emma. She's so cute and adorable, and she's, we did a video for our office for Food Waste Awareness Week, and she is basically just like telling some facts about it's not good to throw away food and stuff like that. So you guys have to check that out. We'll link it. But just like that, I'm sure now Emma goes to school and when she's talking to her friends, she there's no way that she's not mentioning, oh, you don't need to throw that away. Like, you can recycle that. Or, and so then you got her teaching other kids about it. Then they're bringing it home, telling their parents about it, making their parents more aware. And it's just, it's, I think that children are key to changing behavior, so.
Yeah, and she even, like, to the extent of, not just with food, but, which, if anyone can attempt to teach a toddler not to waste food, like, oh, how the doors will open. My son hasn't quite caught on yet, but even beyond that, like, different things, like, she'll be like, we don't need those, the way we can repurpose it. Now, sometimes I have to explain to her that unfortunately some things we just can't repurpose, like her little gum container. I really tried, but it didn't have another purpose. But like that mindset, like I'm glad that she has that mindset of, hey, let's think about this. Can this be used again before it ultimately goes to the landfill? And I think that's the mindset that it's good to teach your kids, to like get a different perspective. Like, okay, everyone else may be like, okay, done trash. Like, we consume and then we just get rid of for convenience, consume and then convenience. But if we can change that mindset of looking at it differently, I feel like that also changes, you know, just, I don't know, how they see life in general anyways. That could be a deeper conversation for a different time, but instead of seeing a piece of trash, she sees purpose.
Wow, I love that. Yeah. I and, you know, that goes into really leading by example, because who are your kids around the most? Who are they looking up to? It's you. It's the parents. It's, I mean, yeah. Like, without a doubt, I know for me growing up, my dad and my mom were like superheroes. Like, they knew everything. And so, you know, and that's how my mom is. If something's broken, she, instead of, like, she's just like a problem solver. She always tries to fix it, tries to rig it up so that it keeps working. She doesn't have to buy something new. And so, like, without her even trying to teach me about sustainability, she was when I was growing up. It's like, at least try to fix something before you trash it and buy another one. You know, and that's the easy route. But, like, if you really...
And the cheaper route sometimes.
Yeah, I mean, especially when it comes to time, you know, your time. But, yeah, it's just important to lead by example. So, that's sometimes even more beneficial than, you know, just trying to teach. Just doing the right thing. You know, like, oh, like, this is an example that I do. All my cardboard... that I have, I break it down, I put it in a certain little area, and then one day out of the week, once I have a load, I'll take it to our little convenience center to recycle it. So I'm thinking that, you know, once Rue's a little bit older and she can, you know, walk around, talk, and understand things, I think I want to make that something fun that we do. You know, like, mm-hmm. Hey, like, every Tuesday when the convenience center's open, you're going to go with Daddy to go drop off it, and then have her sort of help me throw it in and make it fun. So then that's instilled in, like, we don't throw cardboard away. My dad, he runs a recycling plant for cardboard. So even let's go visit Grandpa at his recycling plant but yeah, just leading by example. I think that's important.
Yeah. And I think I think that's important that you mentioned that, like, making her a part of that. And I think that's important to highlight, too. Like, a lot of times we think, like, even at a young age, it's like, oh, the kids aren't going to understand, or I'm just going to go get this out of the way. Like, no, they, like, make them a part of things. They will love it, first of all. Like, the simplest thing that is mundane to us will be the most exciting thing that they've done all day. But at the same time, you're right, like, they get to see that and be like, oh, so this is the norm. And when something, so it's interesting, even when they talk to other people and other people don't do that, it seems really weird to them, because it's like, well, that's the norm. That's what you're supposed to do, you know?
Yeah.
So that's really awesome. Yes, definitely do that. I will make a note, because we don't ever want to, people think that we have it perfect. So, like, I live in a county that we don't have that right now. So I have no place to take mine, unfortunately. And I know there's some other people in different counties that's dealing with that too. So don't feel like you're a terrible, like person in sustainability if you're not able to do that one piece, because I'm not able to. So I just have to try to reduce the amount of that stuff that I do have, because I unfortunately don't have a convenience center to take it right now.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, you could do something easier, like have a small little compost bin, and then, mm-hmm. you know, like, once you get done cooking, have your kids help you cook and be like, oh, well, instead of throwing all this, you know, waste away, the trimmings from the vegetables and stuff like that, let's go put it, let's, you know, help me take it out to the compost bin, and let's see if there's any worms in there, or, you know, something like that. And, you know, that's a great point, Ashley. I'm glad you brought that up, because I don't want anyone that listens to this podcast to think, oh, Caleb and Ashley are like the most perfect sustainability or environmental stewards that there are. Like, we try to be good examples, but understand that it's all about, there's so many different variables that you have to take into consideration. You have to make your life, you're in charge of your life, is what I'm trying to get at. Like, and so the point I wanted to bring up is, you know, if we were the most sustainable parents or whatever, we'd be using cloth diapers and that kind of stuff. And honestly, it's just not feasible for my life. So I don't want anybody, like, I'm using regular diapers, I'm using regular wipes. So I am creating a little bit more trash than I normally would be having my daughter, but, and that's okay. You know, I just, because you're not completely perfect doesn't mean you don't have a sustainability mindset. And so I know that I don't know if I've said that the proper way, but I just, there's so many variables that go into raising a child that you can't be perfect in every single aspect. I know there are people that do use cloth diapers and, like, super, I mean, I have the utmost respect for those people, and, like, give them a huge round of applause. It's just something that's not feasible with my lifestyle. But you just wanted to mention that.
Yeah, kudos to those that use cloth diapers. I don't know if I have it in me.
Yeah, I've got one of my friends that babysits for this family. They use cloth diapers, and they've got, like, there's all these new technologies and stuff where you can spray them off. Like, it's like a cone thing that goes in the toilet, that you throw them in there and basically spray them off before you throw them in the washer and dryer to make it, you know, better. But those extra steps, I just don't really have that much time for. But like you said, kudos to the people that can do that and that put in the effort, because we need people like that. But there was a couple other things that I wanted to bring up, that if you are a new mom or new dad and you're thinking, like, how can I make my this whole process, this really unsustainable process, a little bit more sustainable. Ashley and I, before we started recording, we're talking about, you know, the idea of making homemade baby food is not only economically beneficial to you, but it's sustainable. You're not out there buying you know, the single use packaging that this comes in. And then Ashley, what were you saying about the sweet potato? I mean, like, it's so much more economically feasible for making your own purees than going out and buying it. Can you touch on that a little bit?
Yeah, so what I was telling Caleb, so one example, so with my first, or my daughter, you know, I did try out, you know, some things. I would get little jars from the store, but most of what I did was fix the baby food myself. Because, example, there was this, I was doing sweet potato puree, and my husband, I sent him to the store, I'm like, just give me a sweet potato. And I was expecting that one, you know, just a normal sweet potato, and I would get like four servings. He comes and it was like a giant sweet potato, but it was only $1. And anyone that knows how much the jars of baby food are, that would have gotten you one jar of baby food. Okay, this one sweet potato, I don't know how many pounds it was, but it was a big one. It was $1, and I got like about 30 or plus servings of sweet potato from that. And I had to freeze a lot of that, but it lasted me. So $1, and I didn't need to buy any more sweet potato for, I think, like 2 months with that. And I mean, also, I know exactly what went into her food because I was the one making it. So, you know, sustainable and economically better. Yeah, that was a huge win.
Definitely. And yeah, and that was a great point that you made, is like, so yeah, economically it's better for your wallet. Sustainably, you're not having to buy things that you're gonna eventually have to throw away or try to reuse those jars and stuff like that. And then you know exactly what your baby's getting. You know, and I'm not saying that these baby foods that are already made aren't good for your baby. I'm not saying that at all, but I'm just saying you don't exactly know what is all in that. Even, you know, so you can trust that if you're pureeing your own sweet potato, or you're making it yourself, you know what's going into that. So if there is some sort of health issue, you can be like, hey, this is what the baby intook.
Yeah, and, you know, you think about, like, the transportation to get the food to wherever for them to make the baby food and all of that, which I am not downing baby food. Again, it goes back to whatever is best for you. I love to cook, so it just... I love doing that anyways. I will say the one thing, and if you have toddlers and you start getting into those pouches, that's where I found it being difficult. And I was like, okay, I'm, you know, on the go, and I needed those like pouches, and it's easy and da da da. I'm like, but this is not sustainable at all, these packages. Even there's some companies that's like, they use recycled material into it, but you can't recycle it again, kind of thing. My mom found this, and I don't know the brand, which I'm not promoting a certain one, but there's these certain things that you can buy to make your own pouches, and you can wash it and reuse them. So they're reusable pouches. And Caleb, I don't know if you know what I'm talking about, because you, of course, you have a 1-month-old, so she hasn't quite hit that yet, but when they get to be a toddler, it's pretty much the baby food mixes, but in pouches for toddlers. So it's, you can take it with you and all of that. So, but there's ones that you can buy for yourself and make, like, you can make your own purees and put them in there, and then you can rewash those pouches. That way you're not throwing them away.
Yeah. I think I saw a video on that. I've been getting on Instagram and everything. All of the videos that I see now are all parenting hacks and stuff, and baby stuff, like how to boat baby, that kind of stuff. So yeah, I think that's very important, because if you're not using reusable ones of those, I mean, you're going through, you know, at mm-hmm. least one a day yeah. for snacks and stuff like that. So that's a huge opportunity. There's a couple more things that I wanted to hit on that I've just noticed from our pregnancy is, you know, of course, when you get pregnant, you're not fitting into a lot of your clothes. So what we did is we put all of the clothes that Shelby wasn't fitting into in a bin and put it up in the attic. And she, you know, bought quite a bit of maternity clothes. Well, now that she's had the baby, we've got all these maternity clothes that, of course, we're going to save for our next pregnancies and stuff like that. But also, what we thought is pretty cool is we have a lot of friends that are in different points of pregnancy or just getting pregnant, and so we thought it'd be such a good idea to, like, essentially set up a little store for all of our friends that are pregnant. They can come over to our house, check out all the maternity clothes that Shelby had and pick out some that they would like for them to borrow those while they're pregnant, because they're not going to be pregnant forever, you know? So it's just a good opportunity. So they're not having to go out, buy other clothes just to wear for a little while and then essentially get rid of them, donate them to a thrift store or try to sell them or just, you know, throw them away. Hopefully that's not the case. But so we thought that that is something really cool to do. If you've got people that, yeah, and everybody knows somebody that's pregnant or, you know, trying to get pregnant and stuff like that. So if you've got an abundance of maternity clothes, sort of set that up. Like, say, hey, come on over. See if any of these are something that you would want to wear, and feel free to borrow them until it's over and just give them back whenever it's over. Or just keep them. I mean, like, we're doing that with our little yoga ball that Shelby used towards the end of her pregnancy. We've got her maternity pillow that she slept with. We basically are just lending all those out to our friends so they're not having to go out and buy those, since it's a short time that, in the grand scheme of things, that you would be using that and needing that. So, you know, so we thought that, I felt that that's a pretty cool sustainable tip.
No, that really is. And actually, me and my friends have done that, which I was the first of all of our friends to start having babies. I'm like two ahead of everyone, but we like a couple of them, like, it's, if you've noticed, you know, there will be batches of pregnancies, not just one at a time, like, but there'll be like several at a time. So we just like, we'll swap clothes. So I have one of my friends, she got pregnant, and I'm like, here's all my maternity clothes. She was pregnant around like the same time, and so it worked out. And then actually, when she was about to have her baby, I got pregnant with Sophia, and so she gave the clothes back and I used them. So like, and those are clothes, maternity clothes I've had since Emma, and so those have gotten several uses out of them without people having to go buy more stuff. So yeah, that's a super, like, it's super helpful and it's super sustainable. And cheap.
And it's easy to do. I mean,
sure.
Well, I mean, that's basically all the tips and tricks that I could think of. I don't want to make this too long and drawn out. We wanted this episode to just be fun, a good opportunity to get to talk about our new adventures in life. And, you know, I just wanted to let everybody know, if you were trying to get pregnant and having issues or going through any type of issues like that, like, we're sending good vibes your way. My wife and I unfortunately went through a miscarriage before we got pregnant with Rue. So, you know, don't get discouraged. Things happen for a reason, and there's light at the end of the tunnel if you're in a dark place. So just know that. And also, you know, if you are new parents and you're tired and you're starting to get discouraged, like, you're doing great. Nobody knows what your family needs except for you, and, you know, it's your adventure, it's your life. So don't let people tell you or you know, have these expectations in your head about what things should be. Build out your life how you see fit. You're the parent. You're doing a great job, regardless if you don't feel like you are. There's been some times where I'm just dead tired and Rue won't start crying. I'm like, I'm a bad dad. I don't know what to, and you just got to take a step back. You know, your baby can't hurt itself crying. So, as long as it's got a clean diaper, it's fed, you know, just take a step back. And you know, if you start to get frustrated, just take a breath, you know. Put your baby in the safe sleeping, you know, in its crib with, and then just take a step back, take a breath, realize that, you know, it's not their fault. It's not your fault. Everyone's learning. You're doing great.
Yeah.
And just keep it up.
Yeah. And I also want to, you know, we'll be posting this. Any like parents out there that this is not your first rodeo and you have, you have kids that are teenagers or middle school that's been in this and have more sustainable tips, like, please share it. Share it in the comments when we post, or reach out to us, because I know for me it's been awesome to learn from those that have already been through where I am. So that's super helpful. So please share in the comments or send us a message, and We'll be happy to share that out and hear that.
Absolutely. Yeah. So we appreciate everybody listening. I think it'd be cool, Ashley, maybe if we might put one of our favorite pictures of Sophia and Rue as some of the pictures on the Instagram, so you guys can see our little girls and what they look like. I don't know, maybe not. Maybe that's...
we can talk through that.
Yeah, I'll probably put one out just because I love showing Rue off. But yeah, everyone, go out, be sustainable, and be kind to each other.